Hello.
And you wince at that word. Why? Well, the fog dissipates some more and you can remember Big Boy.
Welcome to the party. You've been a very sick young man. I'll go call the doctor.
You try to see where the voice is coming from, but things begin to swim again. You know one thing, though. You are alive. You lie there, casting about for loose fragments to put together, making over that last night. And then gradually you get it. The money, the bar, Big Boy. But now something else is coming on through. Your theory, the reason why you must play the doormat to the world. But sure, it was your money. Now you know he gave you your answer. Now you know why. You're happy in your hospital room, happy for the first time in 10 years. You're a charity case, too sick for the charity ward, they tell you, but you don't care. The examinations, the machines, the doctors, you like them all because, well, because living is fun, and you have a new kind of future. Yes, and the nurse with the golden hair, she's nice. Always doing little things like,
Would you like to see today's paper?
Or...
Here are some flowers I thought you'd like.
Or...
How about a piece of camera?
All the papers, they've always been read before you get them. The flowers are usually wilted. The candy always comes in a plate, a piece or two at a time, from some unknowing patient in another room. But she brings them in with a smile and without being asked. She's a real friend, that nurse is. Oh, look, here she is now, bringing you something again. It looks like an envelope.
Here's something I brought for you.
And your hand is shaking as you take the brown manila envelope from her. You don't know why. And she looks at you kind of strangely.
Is anything wrong? It's the stuff that was in your pockets.
And somehow you manage to shake your head, but your heart is sick as you feel something hard and circular through the paper. Something clinks inside that envelope. And your hand shakes even more as you place the thing on the table beside your bed. And you turn your face to the wall.
That's it. Take a little nap. Bye.
It's been an hour since the nurse left the room. Finally, you turn over slowly. Carefully pick up the envelope. Anything to keep that clinking noise from happening. You undo the little metal clasp and swallow hard. Then suddenly you tip the envelope upside down and out tumbles. A handful of silver, some crumpled bills, and the torn fragments of a beautiful theory. You feel sick. Big Boy hadn't taken a cent, not a penny. So he hadn't given you your answer. Well, then why? Why had he almost beaten the life out of your body? But you know, you make yourself think back to what he said, those two important words. Hello, Schnurgy. Oh, face it. Joey screamed at you, girls turned you down, employment managers brushed you off. Drunks, they sneered at you, people kicked you off beaches and beat you up in alleys because you are a schnurgledum. There must be something about you that's different. If only you could step away from yourself and look for it the way that others do. To find that this monstrous defect that ruins you. Well, you got it. Of course you have. The nurse, your friend, she can tell you. They've been over you with a fine-tooth comb here. They know everything about you, inside and out. You'll find out from the nurse tonight. It's 10 o'clock. Soon she'll be coming in to take your temperature. You'll be alone. The hospital will be death with sleep. You're thankful now for the special attention you need. Any minute now. Yes, here she is now.
Oh.
Light on?
Hey, you. Now, you're supposed to be asleep.
You mumble something about not being very tired.
I'll get you a sedative while I take your temp.
She starts for the bed, but you wave her to a stop. And you ask her, you say, what's wrong with me?
Not a darn thing now. You're just weak. 2 months ago, it was a different story. Now open your mouth and I'll get that temperature.
She doesn't understand. You tell her you know that there's something wrong with you all the time, something they haven't told you about.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll be right back.
She leaves the room. She returns in just a moment with your record chart, closing the door quietly behind her.
I shouldn't do this. It's against the rules, but since it's you, I'll tell you exactly how you stand.
And she opens your chart and begins to read.
Electrocardiogram, normal. Endocrine report, normal. Basal metabolism,
page
normal.
After page, normal.
Skull,
normal,
rib,
normal.
Arm,
just what you don't want to hear.
Normal. Neuropsychiatric,
please,
now normal.
Please, let there be
vision
something
normal,
wrong.
Temperature normal, blood pressure normal. So you see, you have nothing to worry about. You are a perfectly normal human being in every respect. A little more rest and... Say, what are you doing?
Your head spins as you get up out of bed. She can't be telling you the whole story. You cross the room to her.
You get back in bed. I'm leaving.
You grab her by the shoulders to keep her from going before she tells you. This is your last chance.
Let go of me. Let go of me. I'll yell.
You clap your hand over her mouth. She's got to tell you right now. She's got to tell you. She's got... In the struggle, her uniform tears and you begin to shake her. Tell me. Tell me. And then... Her head hits the wall. You've got to get away now. Get away. And then after that, you can remember only snatches of what happens. First of all, your clothes in the closet. The dash past people in white. Then fresh air. A truck lurching on something hard. When you awake, it's morning. A chilly morning. You're on the filthy platform of an empty cattle truck somewhere out in the country. Your head throbs. Even in the coolness of the dawn, your face seems to be burning. Carefully, you sit up so the driver can't see out the back window. You're not moving very fast. First thing you've got to do is get some water, a drink of water. So, slowly, you pull yourself over the back of the truck, slide your feet over the platform. You push. There. Oh, that farmhouse. You walk quickly across the frosted ground toward that white frame house for water. You're just about to walk up the stairway when...
That'll do, mister. You can get him up. It's loaded.
Oh, what's the use?
I know who you are and what. I seen you jump over that truck. It's been all over the radio what you did. Fella might say it's just like a snurgled up.
You're defeated. You don't even try to explain, for your brain holds no explanation. So you just sink down into the cold, frosty grass and fall asleep. The noise of the crowd awakens you. There must be 50 men standing about in front of the crowd, all armed. What's this? Somebody steps forward and drags you to your feet. They bind your hands behind you and they force you toward the barn. You can see somebody leaning from the loft, tying a rope to a derrick arm. And there's a horse standing there, a horse. How odd, you think? And soon you're up on the horse and you don't struggle. You don't even yell as the noose falls about your neck. You can think only one thought. Why? Why? You look in vain at the gray sheeted October skies. Wait, where's the farmer? Who is doing this to you? Then you finally locate him, and it's the last thing that you see. There he is. You can see him behind you as you twist to look. He holds the horse by the tail with one hand. The farmer looks up at you without emotion. Then he raises his free hand over the horse's rump and... There it is. The cycle is complete. A smack on the backside giveth life, and a smack on the backside taketh life away. For the Schnurgle Dog. And what do you do about it? Nothing. Nothing but rock in the wind. Well, we got a little wound up in our game, didn't we?
Why?
Well, because he was a Schnurgle Dog. That was everybody's reason. All right, I can tell you now, sure. Well, it's the payoff for our game, the point of the whole thing. You remember I said it was a double-talk word, Schnurgle Dog? Well, mentally cross out all the times that Schnurgle Dog was spoken and fill in the blanks with Jew, Negro, Catholic, Mormon, Nisei. Anything at all like that. But in case your spelling isn't very good, or you don't like to use those words, write in man. That's right. M-A-N. Man.
This is Brotherhood Week. It is a segment of time set aside so that we may stop and re-examine ourselves and those with whom we live, our neighbors, our friends, our family. During the coming week, ask yourself this question: what am I doing to create better understanding? A better understanding has several implications, you know. For example, do you go out of your way to fight prejudice within your community? Do you honestly try to prevent malicious rumors from spreading? Have you once taken a personal interest in the problems of a neighbor who isn't in your circle of friends? It's our responsibility during the week to come and each day thereafter to keep the ideals of brotherhood uppermost in our minds. For only then will we be able to keep the faith of those who are practicing brotherhood day after day, the Americans in Korea. And say, just to prove my point about brotherhood, I'd like to introduce you to two of the veterans who have just returned from Korea. They're casualties and are now hospitalized at the Great Lakes Naval Hospital just outside Chicago.
I am Marine Private First Class Theodore Hudson. I got frostbite in Korea near the Chosin Reservoir. In my outfit, no one cared about a man's race, religion, or color. He may even be a Schnurgle Dog. But we were all working together for the common good. I think this is a perfect example of brotherhood.
I'm Marine Private First Class Melvin Kane of Duluth, Minnesota. I was wounded near the Chosin Reservoir in Korea. We're all fighting a war, and we don't know whether the buddy in the next foxhole is colored or white, Jew or Gentile, Catholic or Protestant. We're all fighting this war together, and we aim to win. That's my idea of brotherhood.
The Schnurgle Dog by Leonard Abbott Knopf was a specially transcribed broadcast presented by this station in cooperation with the National Conference of Christians and Jews in behalf of Brotherhood Week. The Schnurgle Dog was directed by Burr Edward Lee. The music composed by Bruce Chase and conducted by Rex Maupin. In the cast were Loretta Poynton, Stanley Gordon, George Caesar, and Stuart Squam. The narrator was Mike Wallace.